Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
We have set up a Patreon. We have set up a Patreon.
Patreon, however you want to say it.
A Patreon. We have set up a Patreon.
What that does is that just helps us get things like train tickets, petrol for you. And it helps us get to bigger and better guests. We'll be doing cool little things on there, like
nice little giveaways.
You can put in your questions, and then we can talk to you. So yeah, please go on to
www.patreon.com/overratedeverything. Episode 2.
Whenever you sat still.
Really. Series 2. It's very rare that I do sit still. And we've just been talking, why do I sweat so much when we're podcasting?
I know, you're perspirating a lot.
Literally leaking all over your sofa where your daughter sits.
It's fine. It's fine, you sweaty mess of a man.
I know, I love it. Here we are again, episode 2, series 2.
Yeah, fucking fantastic to be back.
Yeah, fantastic. It's feeling it's good. It's been a stressful couple of days. Not stressful. I mean, when I always find that when we're podcasting and when we do a lot in one day,
yeah,
I get into bed or your sofa at the end of the night,
yeah,
and I can't switch off because your mind's been rattling all day. Yeah, like you find it hard to wind down, don't you?
Yeah, it's hard. Like last night, you stayed at mine, we kind of said, oh, we'll sit and watch a film and that, and it got to a certain time and I was just kind of like, yeah, I just want to just sit in my room and just look at my phone or just
not listen to me talking.
In a weird way.
Get like that, doesn't it?
You just need to unwind, don't you? It's like a proper job.
Yeah, it is nearly, isn't it? I mean, I was up till 2 o'clock this morning watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Oh, yeah, you said, the new one.
Enjoy it.
Yeah, he's all right, isn't he? Jeremy Clarkson.
I do quite like him. I always did, anyway.
Yeah, you know, I like to.
I mean, we've all punched a producer, haven't we? Do you know what I mean? I'm going to punch you in a minute.
am I the producer?
Yeah, I think I think it's safe to say you are.
Oh, cool.
Oh, there you go.
I'll have that.
You can have that.
Cheers, mate.
You're the brains and I'm the brawn.
Talking of being a producer then, our guest today is a friend of mine.
He's my friend as well.
He's a friend of yours.
Yours.
Sorry, but we both do a bit of producing for a production company that we've been sort of having an involvement in
for a long time now, haven't you? It's been great.
About 9 years. Yeah, maybe it's been eight years. 9 years.
I remember that really corny photo that you had on the stairs earlier.
Yeah,
that looked like a really terrible album cover.
Really did. Didn't
and it? You don't still use that photo, do you?
I don't think so. No.
It was funny. It was good.
But yeah, so we've got
15 M&Ms have gone into producing movies.
Will the real Slim Shady please stand up?
Yeah.
So the guest is Sean Ward.
Yes.
Top bloke.
Quality bloke.
Lovely lad, isn't
he? He is. Yeah.
Genuine, nice lad. You'll know from Our Girl, Coronation Street, Away Days.
Yeah, he's done also. He works a lot more than you think, doesn't he?
He's done a lot, does. Yeah.
Pops up in a lot.
Pops up everywhere, does Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a grafter, but he's been in the press recently, I suppose, due to him quite openly talking about his own mental health journey, and how he's been sort of suffering with various addictions.
Yeah, he's been struggling with alcohol and stuff. And
yeah,
but he's taken that big step, which I think is a massive thing to do.
Mm.
to turn around and go, right, it's a problem now, and I'm going to stop.
Yeah, yeah.
And it takes a lot of balls to do it publicly as well. So, yeah. I mean, I take my hat off to him for being able to do it, because it's difficult. Like,
it is hard. Isn't it? I mean, we spoke about doing a sort of mental health based podcast for a while now. We wanted to do it for the Christmas one, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we decided against it.
A mental, like, an episode, not a full different podcast.
An episode. And it's important, you know. I'd say in the podcast, you know, I had quite a tough time last year.
Yeah.
And I think in our job, there's certain pressures, and in a lot of jobs, you know, I'm not just narrowing it down to us. So, you know, it's an important conversation, and Sean's subject is, let me get this right, because we said this before and it didn't make sense. So his overrated subject is,
he's not talking to your friends about it.
Yeah. So it's, you know, people should talk more.
Yeah, to especially to your friends, because if you can't talk to your friends and your family, then who can you talk to? I mean, there is help out there.
Yep.
But I mean, for me, talking to my mates, you know, in particular, one of my best friends, Heath, you know, he really helped me out when I was struggling a bit. And, you know, and my dad, and, you know, yourself and Andrew, Shim, and, you know, people who I look up to and love. You know, they're the kind of people that you should feel that you're confident in talking to.
Yeah, 100%. And as well as that, you know, if you've got a friend who you think, who you kind of suspect might not be having a great time,
just check him.
Have a chat to them as well. You know, go for a
walk, see what's happening. Just have a chat.
Yeah, and I mean, it's such a true thing. And when Sean kind of came up with a subject, it was like, yeah, man, like. That is overrated. Yeah. That is probably the one that I've agreed with the most. Like, people should just fucking chat to them.
Just chat. And I think the important thing is, as well, is listening.
Yeah.
And you've got, I mean, it's such I always say this to Craig Parkinson on Two Shot. I know I could bring him up a lot.
No, right.
I always say that one of the best traits that he has in life is the fact that he's a great listener. Like, he can, if you're talking to him in the pod, if you're on the podcast, or if you're in the pub with him, or if you're anywhere, if you're, you know, he's just a great listener.
Yeah.
Which I think is really, really important to have. Because when somebody's, you know, plucked up the courage to actually talk to someone about how they're feeling, I think having a good listener is really important.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And it's not all doom and gloom either. We know, obviously, a lot of you guys come to this podcast for a bit of escapism, to listen to me and Tomo chat to people and have a bit of a laugh. And because we're such good friends with Sean, it is literally that. Like, it gets serious at points, this chat, but it does.
But it's
funny. We had a good laugh.
It's the kind of chat that you have in the pub with your mates.
Exactly. And that's what we wanted to kind of.
And that's exactly, you know, that was the theme of the podcast.
From the start,
you know, we never say that we're going away to interview people.
Yeah.
Like
you shower me for saying
if you say, oh, we're interviewing so-and-so, it's honestly not that. It's just a chat. And we, you know, we ask the odd question, but only as we would if we were sat in Witherspoons.
Yep.
You know, over a pint. And that's kind of why I think this podcast works so well and people, you know, engage in it so well.
Yeah, and it's why we enjoy doing it so well, I guess, as well, isn't it? Because if it was just straight-up interviews and that, then it'd get a bit boring. But
I mean, I'd not that I hate doing interviews, but, you know, they can get a bit repetitive and a bit boring.
Yeah, there's only so many times you can say how you got a part in this.
Or how long you was doing this. What you did for that. And it's like, yeah, it's just nice to wear a different perspective on our views of it and also our guests. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So we went over to Sean's house.
Yeah, so we went over and, you know, when he mentioned this, we did... not research, but sort of scratching up on the ins and outs of people struggling with mental health, and some of the things that we'd seen. I mean,
scary.
It's scary. I mean, I think we saw that there's 800,000 people per year take their own lives down to suicide.
That's
from 16 to 25 is the highest.
That's crazy.
Age.
Isn't it? That's crazy. And
it's the biggest killer. Yeah, in male. For males, it's like, if you think about them facts, it's just, it's mind-blowing, really, isn't it? Because you don't, when you walk down the street, you don't see that there would be that many people that are struggling.
Yeah, yeah, and you never know, do you? Like,
you never know.
I know of, last year, two lads who I grew up with within like a week of each other, like took their own lives. And it's mad. It's only when, like, it's that old saying, and it's like, oh, when it happens, not when it happens to you, because it didn't happen to me, but it happened close to home. You go, wow, it's real. Yeah. It's real. Like, it's, you never think, you think, oh, it's something that happens, or it's something that, you know, it's hurt, you hear about, but you'll never know anyone who'll do it. But then with that fact, like you just said then, you know, like, 800,000.
Yeah, 800,000 people per year. And it's it was 16 to 29, and it's the second biggest killer.
Jeez. And I mean, and that's, again, that's due to just, not due to just, but a lot of that, I think, could have been prevented if, you know, like Sean says, if, you know, just chat.
People chat.
To your friends or to places like Samaritans. Because yeah, apparently 20.6 out of 100 people have suicidal thoughts. Which is
scary, man.
Shockingly so, man. It's,
yeah. And I mean, alcohol and drugs have probably got a massive part in playing in that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, we say in the chat, don't we, like, you know, that they are big factors and stuff, and if you do think that you've got a problem with them, just assess it.
Yeah.
Take a look, you know, without judging yourself, just take a look at it and think, right, okay, is this a problem, or have I got a problem and this isn't helping it, or whatever. And again, a good way to kind of, you know, get an unbiased view on that is by chatting to other people.
Yeah,
exactly. Do you think I have a problem with this, or have I got problems and this isn't helping, etc.?
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll crack on with the podcast. Get the interview with Sean.
It's not an interview, dickhead.
Sorry, I've done it on a get the chat with Sean in. But just before we do go, guys, for any UK listeners, if you do feel like you can't talk to your friends, have a look at places like Samaritans. You can call them on 116 123 in the UK. And obviously, if you're abroad, there's people out there. Do look, do reach out, do chat. Here's the chat.
You nearly did it again.
Here's the chat with Sean Ward.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Okay, we're on. We are recording, and
hello again.
Hello, welcome back to episode 2 of our new series, the series 2.
Yeah. It's good to be back.
Yeah, we're with an amazing actor. He's also a close friend of ours, really. You've known him for ages now as well.
Yeah, I mean, was the first time we ever met? Well, is it when we did
the music video?
The music video in the middle of the woods, or would we have met before then?
Yeah, I think that was probably... You might have met Sean before then, because you directed
maybe.
That one, didn't you?
I know that wasn't the last party, that was the other video.
That was... It was...
It was a band that we love.
It was, oh God,
it's
that was...
Up anyway.
It was a fucking amazing video.
It was probably due to that night, was it not?
Maravo. No, Maravo. It's one of them. It's a good band.
It was, yeah, that was a good night. I really enjoyed that. It was But we just
threw a rave, didn't we, in a woods.
We threw a mint rave in the woods. It was so good. I just remember, like, borrowing my mum and dad's little caravan.
Everyone had to come as an animal.
It was brilliant, wasn't it?
Oh, it was,
I remember, because...
Actually mental.
It was mad.
Work that. Trying to film a party.
Trying to explain to my mates. There was like, oh, so because I'd just come down for the weekend, I don't think I'd come down to be in it as such, was I?
Yeah, I think we got you to come in it and that.
Well, I don't think you realised you were the lead.
I thought you had a little cameo role. It's like, no, you're Thomas Turgoo. You're leading this.
It was mad. It just, like you say, we ended up in the middle of a woods in where it wasn't far from
quarry,
here.
Wasn't it?
Where was it?
Yeah, it was a bit of the way out.
Sort of Glossopy way,
yeah,
I think,
yeah,
wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
I just, it was so good.
One of my mates turned up as a tin tuna.
Yeah,
tin
I remember
tuna.
It actually, yeah.
With a big, like, cut out salmon. And
yeah, I remember having to walk, like, them to the tent in the pitch black, she was, like, silvery, wasn't she? Because she was a fish. Yeah.
It was, I remember, like I say, because we all took loads of booze and we all just got smashed in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
And mid-shot, my mate Andy was dressed up as, like, a chicken or something. And he was really in the middle of one of these shots, and he'd been caning the booze, and like the sun was going down. No, different Andy.
No, different Andy.
And someone said, "Oh, where's the chicken?" So we can't find the chicken. And I was like, "Oh, where's he gone?" Next thing, we just went around the side of a car, and there's a fully grown man dressed as a chicken just spewing everywhere. Yes.
I dressed as a chicken as well that night. Actually.
Maybe, I don't know what he might have been. I don't know, fucking turkey or something.
I think the speakers blew out about 4 a.m.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
That was it.
And then we had that big fire, didn't we?
Yeah.
Sitting around the fire
thing.
Quality.
I mean, it was fucking great. Podcast listeners, like, it was great.
Nicky Bell on
just us.
Directing roles there.
Yeah.
Where's Nicky Bell directing? That was it. Yeah. That shows how much. God, I think that was in my mid go mad stage when I was like, I must have been 21 or something. God,
yeah. It was a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Good times.
Good fun.
But thanks for having us round, Sean.
Welcome.
Nice little gaff.
Yeah,
we've got.
Lovely little
gaff. Yeah, it's
thank
nice.
You, thank you.
Yeah.
How's things with you?
Very well, yeah.
Good man.
Yeah, same old.
Nice. So, obviously, when we're kind of discussing subjects and stuff with you, a lot of our guests kind of come back and, I don't really know, like...
And, yeah, everyone really struggles.
You are such a fucking nice guy. It's like, yeah, you probably don't want to sit and moan about stuff. Like, a lot of guests, because I'm like, I love to moan about anything.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah,
I fucking hate that. That doesn't mean anything. But then some of the guests, like, we've done, like, in episode one, we had Andy Sugden, didn't we? Fucking hell.
He's just done it.
Freudian slip shit. We had Kelvin Fletcher, and he was saying, like, I couldn't think of anything that I, like, moan about, so I was like, oh, fuck, yeah, like, yeah, what,
and,
you know.
A lot of things you kind of even touched on to, like, because I'm not a massive footy fan, so
yeah,
I
same.
Footy.
Yeah,
that yeah,
is,
yeah.
That is overrated.
We hadn't actually had a football.
We had Man United.
Man United Jose Mourinho.
Yeah, was shotty, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But, yeah, we've not actually done football, so, you know, we could touch on that in this, because I'm not a big fan. But, no, I mean, obviously, like, your subject is something quite... close to your heart, again, something that's quite close to my heart.
Yeah,
I guess
a lot of
you know,
people.
It affects a lot of people, which is not talking to your mates about your fucking problems. I guess is what we're gonna go for.
A little bit, yeah.
I think it's a good not
I was
talking.
Struggling of a topic as well, so
you are.
I was a bit struggling trying to think of a topic last night. I was like, what can I actually discuss? But
a lot of people do that, and when they say...
Sorry, guys, Tomo set this mic up well wrong.
Shut with that.
Sorry.
Okay, what?
Sorry.
Okay, now Sean's wrecking it.
Fuck it, wreck the gaff.
A lot of our guests say, we don't know what we want as a subject, and I don't really find anything that I can sit and comfortably moan around about. But we just sort of, we get a topic, don't we? And then we touch on that for a minute, and then... Just sort of chat about any old shit, really.
Yeah,
it's like having a catch up with one of our old mates, you know, and talking about something that we feel passionate about. And when people say, "Oh, are you going to go and interview someone?" It's like it's not an interview. It's not what we try and do.
Yeah.
And it's always a chat. Like if we went to the pub and we'd had a couple of pints, and you went, "Oh, actually, mate, do you know what? it's that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that's exactly what we try and go for.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Just keep it open and
that's
keep it free.
That's how you two work.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess so. There we go.
Because we spend a lot of time in the pub.
Yeah.
that's where the podcast came from. When we were in the pub before DJ, we were like, oh, that'd be a good idea. Let's do that. But yeah, no, so the subject, obviously, like, not talking.
Yeah,
I mean, it is. It's so important. I mean, I'll let you go
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I mean, I did a post. I think Instagram as well, like, because it's all so clean and prim and proper. I had just a moment the other week, or the month, and I was like, sod it, I'm going to put a post out that, you know, I've quit booze, I've quit weed. And I mentioned bloody porn, that went crazy.
Yeah, jumped on that.
Yeah. Wow.
That's a shame.
I'm the first person that's ever mentioned it, so... And it is a thing, you know what I mean? Like, if we want to be honest about it, I've had people from, it's crazy, messaging me from, like, ringing me from LA going, yo, I've got a porn addiction.
Shit.
I've got people in bars coming up to me now, which isn't great, but I was out the other night, and I've got this guy coming up to me talking to me about his porn addiction.
Fucking
hell. I'm like, I want to just enjoy my tapas, bro, but I really appreciate you coming up to me and talking to me about it. And then... Yeah, with like booze and weed, it's just like, for me, it was the booze, man. I was just trying to hit that hard. And even now, I don't really ring the boy. I'm not the type of person to ring someone.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't bell people, they ring me.
Yeah, I think it is a manly kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I suffered like last year with a bit of depression and stuff. And, I just wouldn't talk to my mates, like, and when I finally did, like Jay, you know, my mate Jordan, they were like, why ain't you spoke to us? And I was like, because I didn't think you'd give a shit. And they're what do you mean you didn't think we'd give a shit? I'm like, well, you got your own stuff going on, aren't you? Do you know what I mean? And like, obviously, like, we care, mate, like, obviously we've got our own shit going on, but do you know what I mean? Like, we're here for you. And that's, I think it's something you forget, as even, you know, I think a lot of people say, oh, it's such a manly thing and that, and I just said that myself, but I think even like ladies, I don't think talk that much anymore. Yeah. I think it's very it's on a very surface. Kind of British thing not to talk, to kind of that keep calm and carry on.
Yeah, I can't stand fake conversation though. I'm like,
yeah,
if I'm chatting to someone, they're just touching the surface of like, oh yes, I'm good. How are you? I'm like bored.
Yeah.
Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, what's going on in your life?
Like,
what's
your talent? What do you do for the world?
Yeah, I like to get deep. Yeah, I like to get deep, like, straight off the get go. Hence this podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. No, you are right though. It's same with me. It was down to the booze.
Yeah.
I was drinking a lot, and I was going out a lot, and I was going to festivals. I was doing. You know, I was drinking probably 3-4 times a week, even if it was just going to the pub for a pint. And it got to that point where I was uncomfortable in the situations where I really should be comfortable. I remember I was sat around my wife's family's dinner table on Christmas Day, and I'd been out Christmas Eve, and I'd been out the night before that, and the night before that, and I just felt so uncomfortable in my own body. I was just like, I felt like I shouldn't be there for some reason, and I couldn't put my finger on what it was or why I was feeling the way that I was, because I'm around all these people that love me to bits and I love them to bits, and there's nothing that I couldn't tell them. But yeah, I got to the point where I was like, I had to go outside and just, you know, just have a bit of a breather. And
I think as well, like with what we do as well, like it can almost be, because I'm like say, like, especially with like my wife's family or like your partner's family or even your own family, you kind of always want to like make it externally like you look like you're all right, you're doing well, because you've been told since you was a kid, oh, it's not a proper job, and oh, make sure you know, don't put all your eggs in that basket and shit like that. And then when it becomes a proper job, then for a while, you know, when you're out filming in all them mad places you were talking about earlier, and when you're doing fucking This Is England, whatever, you're doing very well, and on the outside you're doing well, on the inside you're doing well, but then when you sat there waiting for the phone to ring for months, like, you want to look like you're still doing well, you know, you want to show your mother-in-law that, yeah, I'm providing for your daughter, you know, but realistically inside you're like, fuck.
No, I nearly did. Acting's overrated.
Yeah, mate.
It fully is, like, people, but then are we, you know, we need more people to still get in that career because the arts are just not getting the funding.
Fucked
but
to them, innit? Yeah.
But, like, acting is overrated to fuck, like, we get, unless you're smashing it, Yeah. Unless you get to a certain point and you're getting scripts on your table.
Yeah. But it's a marathon.
Yeah, it's a marathon. I mean? It's a 10, 20-year job.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's like you don't... Yeah, I mean, you don't walk into Greg's and you're not... I say Greg's because I've just had one. But you don't walk straight into a manager's role, do you?
Yeah, yeah.
You go in and you'll start by cleaning the windows.
Yeah.
I.e. you'll start by doing your short films and then gradually you'll start getting the recognition that you deserve and you work hard and you get out what you put in and then eventually you will be. You know, I take Stephen Graham as a massive inspiration for me because I know that Stephen had done Snatch and Gangs of New York and he'd done all these amazing things and then he did This Is England and he didn't work for probably a year, 2 years.
Before
and
this.
After This Is England.
Oh, really? Yeah,
and he,
yeah,
and
yeah,
he had really a really, really quiet point after that. And I think, right, well, if Stephen can now go from, you know, from working to doing probably the best performance I've ever seen Stephen do in This Is England.
Hands down.
So then not working at all, and then I'm like, how can that be fucking possible? And then look at him now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I always take that as a thing that... And you know, Stephen's gone through a lot in his life, and now he's really turned it round, and he's nailing it. He's working hard, and he's happy in every aspect of his life. Do you know what I mean?
Who's his right-hand director that gave him all the gigs?
It's Scorsese. The Scorsese,
Just a
little director that he may have heard of.
Not that gave him the gig, but I mean, like they've got
a really good relationship. That's amazing. And like you say, Steve's fucking incredible. You've worked with Steve, haven't you? And he terrifies the living daylights out of me.
Shits me up,
and he's got this. He's only got a look at you. He's got this look when he's especially when he's in the character of combo that. You don't know what he's going to do. You don't know whether he's going to fucking smash your head off a wall or headbutt you like he did Jack O'Connell or, you know, there's all these things that he's got going on.
Yeah, I just did this little short with him.
This is the Stephen Graham podcast, by the way.
just quickly. fucking hell, blowing smoke now. I just did this short with him called Boiling Point and it was...
it's brilliant, by the way.
Yeah, you watched Anya, so yeah. It's like, nice. it was a one-take short film, 15 minutes or one take, in a kitchen. And Stephen was playing a sort of Gordon Ramsay kind of... head chef, but it's fucking again, like shouting, like he's just mint. But yeah, it's not the Stevie. He's had his fucking episode, hasn't he? He was episode three in season one.
Yeah, this is Sean Ward, baby.
But yeah, so I mean, yeah, going back to that kind of subject, then like it isn't just like again. I think in the media, like you know, they say it's such a man thing to hold it in, but I think there's a lot of shout out there for like you say, like women will talk and that, but you know, I think they bottle the feelings just as much. I think,
And especially with all this like toxic masculinity being shouted about a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, where do we find a balance? Like, we're trying to be masculine but also open, and it's like,
there's a lot of pressures. I think as well that are still societally. Is that a word? I'm making it a word. Mm. Society put on men.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. In the terms of, you know. Even though me and my wife are everything, we're a team, everything's 50-50, all down, that we're a fucking team, I still feel like I have to provide and I have to, you know, like I was saying there, like, I have to...
She earns more money than you, though, right?
Probably, yeah. No, yeah, 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 probably. No. But, like, you do, like...
Which is good. It's a good thing, yeah.
Like, you feel like you have to, you know, provide. And it's daft because you don't, cause like, say, yeah, like, we're a team, like, we do everything together, but... Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? And I do think, like saying earlier on, I do think it is a very British thing because, like the Americans, they all talk quite a thing, don't they? Like, they all like shrinks and stuff.
It's normal, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
cool.
Well, it's almost like it's become cool nowadays to have to have anxiety and depression and you know, the people now. It's like it's almost like it's becoming a thing that people.
That's why I didn't really even want to shout about it at first.
And that's hard
because you don't want like people going, "Oh, well, he's doing it to get press." Actually, I didn't. I just put an Instagram video out.
Yeah,
press picked it up. Like, I didn't think I was.
It's almost like people can almost give themselves these problems by pretending that they might have them for attention, you know, because people sometimes do that, which is the sad reality of it, you know. People are.
I think the thing is with yours though is like when you put videos up and that, you can tell
Do you know what I mean? Mm. You can see it's from the heart.
Like a hobo and on some of the videos, a lot like,
mate, I mean that's yeah. commendable, like you're saying it.
You're still more beautiful than I am.
I know. Yeah. Both your eyes look the same way. There's a plus.
Yeah, there's that. In there.
But no, it is. I mean, it's such a thing that needs shouting out more, mate. And like I say, like when. Yeah, being your mate and like seeing them videos and that, like it was like fucking how well done, man. Like it is.
Well, weirdly, because I mentioned booze, it's like someone tried to catch me out the other day. It's the same guy in I went for this tapas and I just couldn't.
Is it the same fucking guy?
Sometimes you can't be arsed chatting to people, right? Can you?
Yeah, well, you have that day, don't you?
I might be having a shit day myself, and now because I've spoken about depression. Fucking everyone wants to tell me their problems. Some days I'm having a shit day and I can't even deal with my own shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, but I got out, it was like the first time I'd been out with the boys going for a meal. And this guy stopped me as I literally walked in the restaurant. He was like, yo, saw you on fucking New Swimming, bro. Fucking great. Da 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 da, porn, porn, porn. I'm the same. So I'm like, right, great, wicked. Nice one, mate. And he went, yeah, and sobriety, yeah, stay with it. So I was like, yeah, yeah, sound, man. I sat down. Next minute, he's sending over a bottle of wine to the table.
What?
So I'm like, fuck, he works for the Sun, he works for the Mirror.
Ah, right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm
yeah.
like, I don't drink, mate. He's like, fucking wine there for you, right. So I just, my boys had it in the end and they drank it. Mm. But it's just a bit like...
Yeah, like that's nah, oxymoronic yeah, to fucking
it. It's crazy, isn't it? But I mean, I struggle like trusting people a little bit anyway, but not massively, but when it comes to things like that, because obviously you have to think about the press now. And, like,
of course you do, yeah.
Can be filmed and done and...
Yeah, do you think that does that weigh on your mind quite a bit then? Because obviously, like with doing like Corey and stuff, I guess. Because I've never had that.
Yeah,
I don't.
Yeah.
Like, have you had that like press hounding you a bit and that? It's never
on social media is the one. Like if and one of them was when we got married. I remember. After the ceremony, you're walking out and you're stood there and everyone comes out and gives you a hug and says congratulations. Mm. Just after that, the vicar who married us come up to me on the phone and he said, I hate to do this, but the Grimsby Telegraph have been in touch and they want to come down and take some photos. And I was like, it's a private day. Like, I don't want to sound like I'm being, oh no, I'm Thomas Turgoo, so I don't want the press with my... It's like, I don't think anyone would want people that don't know at their wedding.
No.
So I said no, and the vicar, to fair to him, he said, I'm sorry, you know, he was on the phone, he put me on the spot, I didn't want to ask you. And then I was out in the pub a couple of weeks later, and a journalist for the Grimsby Telegraph come up to me, and he said, oh, I want to talk to you. And I said, oh, why, what's up? He said, why did you tell one of our journalists that we can come to your wedding? And then when we rang and asked on the day that you said no, I was like, I didn't say that anybody can come to my wedding. I've got family members who aren't even coming to my wedding. Are they out to catch you out? Or,
of course.
Do you know what I mean?
Of course, like...
That's so bizarre.
It's so crazy, isn't it? And then I'm sat at the table then, like, right, I could have... Because obviously, I'm like, last year, I had a bad relationship with alcohol.
Mm.
And it felt like, you know, I have a shandy if I have something now. I just don't touch spirits at all.
Mm-hmm.
And like I've even been sick of yours once back in the day.
I remember that, yeah. Oh, God. That was nasty.
Oh, sorry, mate.
Me and Emily still talk about that. Oh, black sick.
Oh,
it was black sick. It was weird.
They gave me absinthe.
Drink. To be fair,
it was your fault.
Yeah, straight up. But yeah, so like, what was I saying then?
You said about not drinking spirits and just drinking shandy.
So like, even now, like, at that point, I thought I don't need it. So I was like, I'm not even gonna have a shandy now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes you have got
to be seen. Sorry,
I'm not gonna go
shouting
go.
About sobriety, and then
yeah, I mean, but again, you know, when you're in that mindset again, because like when I was in kind of a dark place last year, I thought it was the drink, and I was like, right, I need to give up the drink, and I did. I gave it up for a bit, but then I slowly realised that it wasn't for me anyway. It wasn't that the drink was becoming a problem, it was I had problems and the drink were making it worse. Yeah. So it wasn't the drink. Yeah. I've drank since I was about 15. Sorry, Mum. And I've never had a problem with it, and I thought I did, but like I say, it wasn't that. It was I had problems, underlining problems, but because I bottled it up, the drink made my problems rise to the surface, because you do when you drink, you get relaxed and you say stuff you maybe shouldn't say and things like that. So again, like, you know, I think you have to kind of when you're in that mindset, and if anyone is listening, like, that's an important thing to do, is to maybe assess everything.
100%.
You know, is it drink? Right, okay, it's not.
It's whatever,
you know,
that, whatever the drink is, whatever you're using the drink to combat the problems you've got, you have to trace it all the way back, innit?
Yeah. You know, and it's not the best thing in the world for you. If you can drink in moderation.
For me, it's my dad and granddad are both, like, I'd hate to say it, but, like, lonely old men because of it.
Because of drink.
Booze, like, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's fully, like, Irish background. Both,
yeah.
Both Paddies, both got lost because of fucking spirits.
Yeah.
So it's in the blood as well. Like, I've got to be sensible about it.
Do you reckon, do you reckon it's in your blood? Or do you reckon, because I'm like you, I've always grown, you know, I'm half Irish, yeah, like drink and all that. But then, because you've grown up around it and it's just normal?
Probably, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I also think in this country it's binge city. Like, yeah. I've been hitting it hard, raving in Sankey since I was probably 15.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mum. But in a previous episode with Susie Gage, her subject was alcohol, and we spoke a lot about how in Britain everything revolves around drink.
Yeah.
The day you're born, you're christening, everyone goes and have a pint.
Your wetting birthdays, the baby's head.
Wetting the baby's head. So before you're even born, people are thinking about drinking. And then you've got your birthdays. You know, if your mum throws a birthday, I was speaking to a friend of mine the other day. She said she'd thrown her daughter a fourth birthday party. All the adults, they got through probably 8-9 bottles of wine. So that's on your birthday. So from a young age, and then you're 18th. Well, I've got to go out and get battered with the boys. 21st, 25th, lads' holidays, everything that you do.
Coming,
even funerals, even the day you die, people are getting pissed.
Yeah. Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Even to the fact of what you're up to today. What are you up to? I've got a day off. Yeah. Coming out, where we're going, pub.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, I was saying this again to my mate, to Jay, the other day, to my mate. I was like, should we get together this week and go and do something that's not the pub?
Mm.
And he was like, yeah. And I was like,
hiking's the 15 one that's quid, hiking. Tried to do yesterday.
Yeah.
I've had hiking booked in with my best mate
for
a week now, right? Yeah, with the kids. We went to do it yesterday, so I woke up.
Where did you go?
Fresh. Well, rang you and I was like, "Yo, where are you, mate?" Because he was late, and he's like, "Oh, mate, I can't come.
I was out of my head last night."
I was like, "Well, what happened?" He went, "I was shadow boxing, watching the UFC. Fucked last night and pulled my shoulder."
Oh shit!
I was like, "You were meant to be heaving." He's like, "Oh, the UFC came on, and then da da da." Before he knew, he was twatted.
That's the way.
He popped his shoulder out. We didn't go hiking.
I'm shadow boxing. I was supposed to go into hiking with Charlotte. We went and met my friend for one drink. Charlotte was driving, so she packed the car up. Said, "Oh, we'll just have one." Next thing, Charlotte's like, "Shall I leave the car? Leave the car, and we'll go out." Hiking didn't happen.
Of course, we was
laid in bed all day. So that's just the thing. Yeah. Just everything just associates with drink. Funny. And then if you're doing it so much, you know, it is a massive depressant.
Oh, drink. Mate, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's huge.
Your body for like 8 days, I think.
That's what I mean. And it's, you know, even just feeling sorry for yourself when you're hungover all day and you're eating greasy food and you can't be asked to go to the gym. And, you know, it's...
The only upper is tequila.
Tequila?
Everything else is a downer.
All right,
so,
okay.
Like, in South Africa, some of the lads only drink tequila all night.
Oh, really?
Because they'll just be up.
God, imagine that.
Just
what's the same? Boom. One tequila, two tequila, three tequila, floor?
Straight up.
Yeah. Imagine if us three had a night out on strictly tequila.
My God.
Oh, shit,
Ned. Like,
nah.
I've got mild ADHD, but it goes through the roof. So I've realised, like, I got diagnosed that last year.
ADHD?
Yeah, I said it to all my mates, and they're like, "Oh, it makes bare sense. Makes so much sense." And I'm like, "Yeah, it actually does."
Yeah. I mean, because a lot of...
bouncing off the trees as soon as they fucking go out.
Yeah. Well, again, that's the thing as well, isn't it? Like, again, going back to our career, like, a lot of actors have ADHD or things like dyslexia and stuff like that, which fucking hard things to cope with.
Yeah, dyslexia, trying to script.
Yeah. Trying to read and stuff, like... So that coupled with, you know what I mean, like the pressures of the job anyway, like it's obviously it's going to make you go, fucking hell, man, give me 10 minutes.
The career itself is hard work, man.
Ups and downs, lows and highs.
It's like you say, when you're not working for a while, and then also with you being so recognisable as well, you know, off the back of Coronation Street and off the back of Our Girl, you know, when you're out on the piss, you must notice it. When you're at the bar, you know people are talking about you.
Yeah.
And how you need to get your mind around the fact that you know that there's a dozen people talking about you.
Yeah.
But then you've got to have your normal conversation with your friends, knowing, thinking, what the fuck are they saying? And 100%. I'm like,
you know, 9 in 10 times, it's for you, like, you know, you get a group of girls, oh, it's fate up for you, not me. You know, like big fans of the film.
You pointed at me then, just saying.
But you know what I mean? In my head, I'm thinking, what the fuck, what are they saying?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
And then I end up chatting shit to me mate. Like, I'm just going, because I'm taking my mind off what they're saying. Fucking hell, I paid £4 for a bottle of water the other day. They're like, what? Do you know what I mean? It's trips you out.
I used to ruin my mates' nights when I was in Corrie at the height of, say, when I was getting, it was crazy. We went to Newcastle and it was my mate's 30th, and like, I was ruining his night. Every pub we went to, people were asking me about shit, and it was like, my best mate was the next to me getting fuck all attention, and I left, I ducked out because I just couldn't deal with it anymore, and I could tell he was getting pissed off, and like, we couldn't even spend time with each other because I was
getting
pulled off.
That's the thing, man.
Yeah.
Your night out becomes, which, you know, people watch what you do and they like and they love what you do, and that's why they're coming over and saying hello to you, and that's the way it is. But when your night just fully becomes about the same questions as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like the same.
Are you dead? That's all I get.
Yeah.
What's that?
Are you dead?
Yeah.
Are you dead?
I'm like, wow. Do you know? I've heard that before. Flip it, and then you just got to say, like, what's your name, mate? What's your talent?
Yeah.
I ask everyone what their talent is.
Ah, that's a nice one.
And just.
Just as a conversation starter.
Yeah. People hate me for it because I do it all the time.
It's funny when you try and start a conversation about them, though. No, when they've come over to you and you try asking them, when they're like hounding you about the questions they want to know, you turn around and go, ah, so where are you from then, mate? Oh, yeah, you got any brothers or sisters? And then they're like, oh, God, I don't know what to say. You turn
like
it around.
Normal conversation. Shit.
Yeah, but like I said, going back to it, that's the hardest part for me. And that triggered a lot for me when I was out on the piss. Because we was DJing a lot, and our nights out consisted of going and standing in front of everybody.
Do you get on it, boys, when you DJ?
When we drink it, mate. It's one of them, like, I...
So we stand at the front of a thing, and we're DJing, and all eyes are on you. Mm. So then when you go on a normal night out with your mates, and you're like, fucking, it just trips you out. Just being around it all, it's a bit...
It's like when I get on the Met, and it goes quiet, and like, five people stare at me, and normally I'm not arsed, but say if I am having a bad day, like say if I do feel a bit of anxiety and I'm like, oh, I really don't want to go out and be stared
right now. Mate, and that's a normal thing. Obviously, you know, we do a job that is part of the parcel, and we're not daft, we know that, I guess, from the get-go.
Yeah.
Especially when you take something like Corrie or whatever, and you know, but it's finding that balance, I guess, innit? Because you don't want to go out and be fucking stared at all
nobody
the time.
Nobody does, man.
And especially,
nobody
like you say, when you're on the Met or when you're on your way somewhere, like, shit.
I think it's maybe more because of the character I played as well. People are more frightened to come up to me.
I guess so,
because people believe that in Coronation Street, and all of the soaps, because you're in their front room 3, 4, 5 times a week now.
Yeah.
It's like, the soap stars are the only people that make me go... take my breath, like a bit starstruck by him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's different with you because I knew you before that anyway, but you know, I met Bruce Jones, who played Les Battersby when I was a kid, and I didn't know what to, I called him Les straight away you thought I was a knobhead.
Yeah.
But that took me away because people are so connected with the character that you're playing.
Yeah. The type of people I'd wave at, I'd go, oh shit, that was thinking.
Yeah. But that said, that does add to the whole thing for me, anyway. And you know what else it is, the listeners won't be able to see this, but you know, if you sat in a train and someone does that,
oh mate,
points taking the a phone picture. At you, you're like,
I swear to God, they do when they're eating as well. Like, I used to do when I was eating, and they'd like leaning, like,
yeah,
to take a picture,
huge lean. Yeah.
Just get your phone out and take photos of them. That's what I do,
really. Yeah,
I've got loads of photos of random people.
Oh, that's genius.
Yeah, so if they're pointing phones at me, I'll just like, and I'll put my flash on. That's what I like doing. Yeah,
I'll get on that.
Nice. Yeah, until it turns out you're just paranoid, and then you're like, oh fuck, sorry.
it's a weird bit. Again, like, you know, like it's something that you go, right, okay, that's gonna happen. But when it does happen, nothing prepares you for it. I remember the first time, because obviously, like, where I might have said it on the podcast before, actually, but where I'm from, like, people look at you because they want to fucking fight you. And I remember the first time I was in Blackpool with two of my mates. We were walking down the front. I have said it on the podcast now, and these lads were looking at me, and I was like, fucking hell, yeah, lads, like, get ready, these what's scrap. And they were like, no, it's because that film. I was like, oh shit, because I just completely, like, do you know what I mean?
Of course,
like,
you do.
I think the
well.
Main thing, though, of getting over this, over the way I feel about when I'm out, and like I'll moan about it to the lads, and I speak about it to the lads,
yeah,
and I have a laugh about it, and like you lads were sitting talking about it. It's not, you know, being recognised for what we do is not a bad thing at all.
Of course not.
But in your mind, you can represent, you can make that a bad thing. But
yeah,
when I'm talking about it with the lads, we make fun of it, and I think that's important to do with any sort of mental health issue. I think if you can get with your friends and, you know, make fun of it and talk about it and feel comfortable about talking about it, that helps for me massively.
Yeah, that's what I like. Even though I did mention porn. And
I was just going to say, because that's...
I had to put a tweet out saying, fuck it, saving the world one dick at a time.
Yeah.
And that, just to kind of be like, the press were always going to pick up on that. They put the picture, the fucking quote was like, Sean's porn agony. And I'm like, oh my God, I've got porn agony with the picture that I look like a right weirdo on. And it's like, oh, it's done now, fuck it, like...
Yeah, and the thing is though, mate...
a conversation...
Again, though, I think, like, part of, like, what you're saying there, and I get, like, say, the press jumping on it, but, you know, forgive me if I'm wrong, but it sounds a bit like you're still a bit like, ah, should have really said about the porn thing, but most it's fucking brave that
what
you
was
did.
The porn thing, sorry, Sean?
So I believe, like, I was doing a lot of research on male energy, and if you constantly wank, like, that energy that you're releasing... is full of, like, some of the best vitamins, minerals, like, all this shit that makes you look healthy, look younger.
Yeah.
So a lot of old men like Einstein, they never used to, like, ever... they'd practically be celibate.
Yeah.
Einstein was, like, known for... well, he was knocking off... didn't he get with his cousin behind his wife? Something like that. Yeah, go on, yeah.
Wrong.
We might just not have had a wank. It might be why.
But there might be other people, might be, like, Aristotle, maybe... but they all used to never... they used to practically live a life of celibacy. And, that's what raised their IQ. And there's all these...
well, it's like footy players and that. They're not allowed to have a...
so I just mentioned that on a tweet.
Yeah.
Like, save your energy. Like, but I did say it, obviously, can ruin relationships as well. But then that got picked up by the press.
Yeah.
And became this huge story about...
oh, I remember seeing about it.
At home with a porn addiction and a spliff in your hand.
Oh, like, my God.
My granddad rang me and he's like, what the fuck is this? And I was like, oh, Johnny, man, I wanted to get the paper before you got it.
But again, you know what I mean? Like, it's something that, it's probably not... again, it's common... not commonplace, but it's a lot more accepted for you to go, oh, look, I've got a problem with drinking. Oh, look, I've got a problem with weed. But to actually say, right, look, I think a bit. I probably do watch a bit too much porn.
I think I used to have a sex addiction. Like, I think I used to, like, I used to have to be not be, but I used to be with a different woman every bloody couple of days.
And again, I think that's part of being young.
Yeah, I suppose that is.
But again, you've just done it. Then it's like, oh, it's socially accepted. It's young, but then if it is, do you know what I mean? Like, there's certain sort of addictions, I guess, that people find hard to chat about because they are a bit more socially accepted. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's now socially accepted to say, fuck me, I need to not drink. I need to not smoke. But if you turn around and go, oh, fucking hell, like, I'm watching too much porn. I imagine the immediate response off your mates would be, fucking dickhead, shut up. Yeah, it does.
It's easier to watch porn, isn't it?
It's easier to watch porn, and it's the quicker, and it's fucking...
yeah, but imagine trying to explain to the lads, like, oh, I've got... lads, I've got a real problem, like... I'm taking a different bed home every night. Do you know what I mean? And that's a problem for me. I'm addicted to sex.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
You get laughed at.
Yeah, you'd be like, shut up, you dude.
Yeah, you're living the dream, bro.
Yeah, which is like, if you feel that you've got a problem, like...
I think it's more so because, like, yeah, sorry, but you don't get that connection either.
Yeah.
Like, I'm all about spiritual, like, I've got my Kama Sutra book and that, do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Get on that breathing circles and, like, you can't get that with a one-night stand.
No. Like, it's yeah, I mean, she don't listen to this anyway, but, like, me and my missus, like, it's not sex. Like, it is sex. It's amazing. It's, like, it's...
it's making love,
it's,
baby.
Yeah. Oh,
making love,
there
baby.
Is. It's the elephant. Nah,
but there is a difference between, you know, having sex and actually making love.
Yeah.
And when you feel it proper, it's like, wow, yeah, that is everything. Yeah. But then, like you say, like, a lot
that's
of, like...
a child should be born.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Moment. I can't remember what sex is like.
You've only been married 2 months at the time of recording. 3 months.
No, it is. God, it's true what they say. It does stop, doesn't it? Fucking hell,
it's mad.
Fuming.
So obviously, like, yeah, I'm now the leader of the porn conversation, guys.
No, but I mean, like, again, we're like sort of chuckling, but it's brave, man, because I know, like, you know, there's people, yeah, like you say, like, is it Russell Brand has kind of said that he's got a sex addiction and stuff and whatnot. But, like, you know, for yourself, like, to come out and say, like, porn thing, it is, I get why the press have jumped on it in that sense, but then I also go, you know what, actually, fucking fair do, because, you know, we all do it, like, you know, everybody, you probably listen to this on your iPhone or whatever, you're going to be looking at that tonight, doing stupid things, well, not stupid things, but, you know, doing things.
Save your energy.
But, you know, and it is brave, man, and like you say, you know, not talking about it, it doesn't make it go away. I think the more you don't talk about stuff, whether it be drink, drugs, anything, I think it, if you just rattle it around in your own head, you're your own worst fucking enemy, man. You'll doubt yourself more than anyone in the world ever will.
Yeah, the best thing I ever did was speak to the lads about, because I think it was paranoia that I was having, but not an uncontrollable paranoia. I wasn't sat there and I remember I was on the footy. I was on the way to the footy with my dad and my mate Eve, and this was in the when I was battering the drink and I was drinking a lot. And I was on the way to the footy, and I said to Eve, I had two spare tickets, and I said, Eve, I said, I don't want to go. I was sat in the back of the car, and I was shaking, and I was like, the thought of being in that crowd of people, with people potentially coming over for a photo, or just, it was too much for me. And my mate said to me, he said, I'll take you home now, mate, but if you go home, then it's winning. You know what I mean? You just go, just come. If you get there and you can't handle it, then we will go. But I remember him just saying, if you can get past that and come and not let it win.
Wow, what a guy.
And that was the first time that I'd actually said to one of my mates that I'm really, really struggling with it now.
Yeah, like, I'd never known you were going through that.
That's what I mean.
Like, it's the first time hearing of it.
Yeah, and I felt like that for a long time. And it wasn't massively uncontrollable. Like, it was just the whole, when you're out and you know people are staring about you and you know people are talking about you.
Controlling, or not knowing what they're saying.
Not knowing what they're saying. And you, and I, me, I'd hide that with a drink. I'd think, right, well, I'm going to have to get pissed then. Because when I'm pissed, I don't twig onto it. Or I'm just blind to it because I'm so drunk. Do you know what I mean? And ever since that conversation with Aoife on the way to the football in the car, it's now been a thing that if ever I am feeling shitty, I could, you know, it'll take the piss out of me for it. It'll have a laugh. You know, it'll call me a paranoid bastard. It'll have a joke about it, which makes me feel better. Do you know what I mean? That's, you know, some people might go, oh, you shouldn't make fun of people who are suffering, but that's my personal way of getting over it. You know, having a joke about it with the lads is my way of dealing with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got
the boys have to be respectable as well, which is mad. You have to put shit on your mates and be like, yo, you can't be falling out of here fucked either, because I'm... Corey, and like, luckily all my boys were like, yeah, sweet, we'll step our game up.
Yeah, you've got that. I remember having that chat with my mates when, like, the first series of This Is England came out, and I'm like, look, because I had a couple of my mates who, like, love to go out and, like, kick off and stuff. And it'd be like, look, like, let's just chill out, because it's, you know, if you get seen and you get, you know what I mean, you get fucking, you know, in the wrong place at the wrong time, like, it can seriously... Yeah. And that is a lot to take on again, do you know what I mean? Like,
Going out, we used to love going out for a scrap.
Scrapping, yeah. We used to love it.
Oh, what else would we do on a Friday night?
I know, yeah. But now it seems... I think the press have got a massive thing to... Especially with, like... You know how the press are getting on at, like, Katie Price and Kerry Katona and all these people who don't do themselves any favours... But, you know, the grown people and they're making their own mistakes. They should be entitled to do that on their own without the tweets and about the Daily Mail and the Sun battering them for it. It's like, why can't you just let them make their own mistakes without you telling the whole fucking world about it?
Yeah.
And I think that for people who are in the limelight can really struggle with depression and anxiety, because you can't make your own mistakes. And I think that's why... I think the press... single-handedly killed Amy Winehouse, I think.
Yeah, 100%. With the help of her father a little
With the help of her father a bit, yeah. But I think without, you know, when she was out and she was experimenting with a bit of coke, or she was doing this or she was doing that, just let the girl do it, make her own mistakes, and then later on in life she might go, oh, actually, you know, that was maybe not the right thing to do.
instead of printing about it every fucking day and putting more pressure on her shoulders with the whole world of judging her to the point where she couldn't take it anymore. Do you know what I mean? It's like, how that's allowed.
Yeah.
How that is allowed is beyond me.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, we deal with a tiny bit of fame. And, like, I'd hate to be on, like, someone's level. Like, imagine being NJ or...
Justin Bieber,
like, you'd actually want to leave planet Earth.
Mm.
You'd actually be like, I can't stay here.
Yeah. Which is why they go mad.
Yeah.
And you 100%. Can't blame them, man. It's like...
Because everywhere you go, it's just no one actually cares about you.
Yeah. Justin Bieber can't fart without it being on the front page of the Sun.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I guess with that as well, it's how you... they must be a certain way to deal with it in their heads as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've fallen in love at the minute with Will Smith's YouTube channel.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. There's one on there. It's only like about 3 minutes long. And it's about fame. And he's saying, I love being famous. He's like, I love it. Like, he says, like, a lot of people feel like you guys are saying, on edge or whatever. And he's like, I feel safer. Because he's saying, like, he knows what, like, it's funny because he turns around and he says, he knows that if he has an accident, he'll get pushed through A&E, and the majority of people in there will go, oh yeah, fine, it's Will Smith, let him go before me. Do you know what I mean? And it's probably true if you look at it that way. Yeah, if you rolled into A&E in Grimsby or something, they'd probably be like, oh yeah, fuck it, it's Tomo's local legend, like, let him in.
Fucking hell, he's back again. there is that aspect of it. There is that. But then it goes back to he's got the financial stability.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Which I think, you know, money don't make you happy, but it certainly helps.
How do you all feel about actors having social media? Because I've always... That's one thing that I...
How do you feel about it?
When I first got a Corey, I've never had Facebook. I think I deleted that about 16 years ago.
Yeah.
And then when I got a Corey, I deleted my Instagram, reset that, and I reset my Twitter.
Mm.
And, like, the producers were like, oh, yeah, great, sweet, off you pop. So then I started again from there. But then, like, I feel like you've got to keep an element of mystery.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, that's not a thing anymore because every actor now has social media.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really use mine as a tool for my career.
Mine's
use
just
like
full of poached eggs in it.
You definitely don't. Yeah, I literally put pictures of me little girl. Like, I did a chalk drawing the other day of me little girl. Pull that up. Like, do you know what I mean? Little things like that. Like, but then
you
I don't know.
Get work from Instagram.
Pardon?
You don't get work from it.
I mean, people can. I mean, people can earn money from Instagram, and people can, you know, things like that. I mean, I've done it in the past where, you know, companies have sent me some fucking hot sauce or some shit. Not shit, it was amazing hot sauce. See, I'm doing it now. But, you know, I'll be put a picture up. But more for me than going, oh yeah, like thingy. For me, it's like I'm in my head still that little scally from Withenshaw. I'm like, free shit. Yeah. I love free shit.
Standard.
Cheers.
Standard.
Yeah, that's the only reason I won't delete social media. And I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, one bit for DJ bookings, it's good.
Because, nice. Yeah.
Which is good, and I keep it for that. And you know, I get sent other little things. Like, I got sent an e-cig the other day that might cost 200 odd quid.
Yeah.
And I'm from Grimsby, man. If someone's offering me a free fucking e-cig, I'm going to take.
Class actors, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, so you get the little things like that. But then also that has a knock-on effect towards mental health issues. You know, because I'm always getting people commenting on my. I can take it. People always saying, oh, fucking hell, your eyes on the piss, innit? Or, you know, you got teeth like a burnt down village. And I can take that.
Sorry, mate.
Go on.
I'm sorry for putting that in.
Oh, I thought you'd make a mistake. Oh, yeah. No, but, you know, I can take that. And I'll say that about myself. But, you know, there is people out there that won't be able to take that.
Of course.
And people still insist on doing it. Like, if you read the comments on people like, I don't know, Ariana Grande or anybody, especially when Ariana Grande was going through all that thing with the... with a boyfriend or ex-boyfriend who'd killed himself. Mac Miller.
Yeah.
So he'd recently took his own life. And if you look through Ariana Grande's post at that time, there's people commenting on it saying, you fucking killed him, you did it. And it's like, nah, that's not... One, you don't know the girl, so who do you think you are to... Do you think you've got the right to say that?
Yeah.
Two, is that's disgusting, you shouldn't say that to anybody.
Mm.
It's like, yeah.
I think it lets everyone be judge and jury, doesn't it? Social media.
Yes.
And that's not good. Like, I mean, you know, I'm a big believer in, like, you know, letting the people have a say in that. But sometimes not everybody, like, needs to be heard, I think. Everybody needs to be heard. Everyone deserves to be heard. But just when people are judge and jury all the time. And that's the fucking world that we live in now. Like, the most popular shows are, like, fucking X Factor and things like that, where the audience are the judge and the jury, you know. And it's like... I just think, because, like, when you see
people doing well. Like you say, there's always people, oh, she's not that good, actually. Oh, and this guy was better. And it's like, you're not a fucking record producer, or you're not a TV director or a film director. Like,
it's like
you watch it and enjoy it and, you know, enjoy what you think. You don't. I just don't get people who go out of the way to
judge someone.
I see people who go out of their way to slag people off online the same way as I see people who comment on Pornhub. Yeah. Just fucking what you do in your life.
How I see it is if I walked into B&Q and someone who called me an ugly bastard on Instagram, it's like me walking into B&Q and just going, you know, you're fucking shit at your job, you are.
I would never
dream of that.
Yeah.
It's that sort of thing. Or walking past a builder in the street and going, yeah, fucking hell, let's look at the state of that. Yeah.
We have two worlds now, don't we? We have a digital world and like a reality world.
Yeah. I wouldn't judge someone on the job. You know what I mean? If I didn't know them, or even if I did know them, I still wouldn't judge them on the job.
I've got George Orwell. We're all famous.
Yeah. 15 minutes. Yeah.
Which I think is great. Like, I think it's if you are our generation now, like, you don't have to get out of bed and go and work a 9-to-5. You can have an online
job. Yeah,
You can be your own boss.
Yeah.
Wow. I take my hat off. There's a lot of like single mums I've seen out there just smashing it, and everyone is trying to do their own bits and make a business for themselves.
Which is
huge, and that's like, you know, we don't all have to get up and do this 9-to-5 slug. But at the same time,
the bad things on it. I don't know whether sometimes do the bad outweigh, like saying there, like, I've got mates who, if I just judge them off their Facebook, I probably wouldn't be friends with them.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely, they put stuff and I'm like,
version of someone.
Yeah, I'm like, what? Oh, yeah. What? Why are you putting that? Do you know what I mean? Like, literally, or not like close mates, but like people I speak to, like down the pub or whatever. Like, I'll see something they post on Facebook, and I'll be like, why do I speak to them?
Mm.
If they said that to or something along them lines to me in real life, I'd be shocked. Especially like in today's climate, where you've got the whole fucking Brexit, thing and all that shit.
Love them being all on Facebook, sharing all that shit. About they don't know anything about
it. Nothing.
I thought you were going to direct some of that meme.
I've seen a little meme that someone's made about this. You know, about the young girl who wanted to come over from Syria.
Yeah.
No, they don't even know what the fuck's going on there.
See, that's one where.
But they've seen a little meme that's gone, oh, she went to train with ISIS, but now she wants to come back to have her kids.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
And then Facebook's algorithms have even put that in front of her because they know that's what she wants to see.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like you're not even getting alternative news. Yeah. You're getting fed what you want to be told. Yeah.
It's fucking mental.
Like, that on a cycle is dangerous.
It's scary, isn't it?
Everyone's part of the UDL, aren't they? Just because they've seen a meme.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's people.
But everyone's fighting terrorism because people changed a fucking profile picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, there's so many flips
of
it.
Be out on the streets.
Exactly. Actually talking, getting the conversation going. Because again, you know, you speak to them people actually in real life. And I had that. There was a guy who, he was talking about that woman who went and joined ISIS or whatever, and again, I didn't comment on it because I thought I don't know that situation is too bizarre of a situation.
Is this young girl?
She went and joined ISIS at 15.
Yeah.
Then she's had kids out there and she's lost a few.
She could still be a spy.
Purposely didn't comment or share or do anything about it because I didn't know enough about it.
Because it's such a...
I do not read.
It's so complicated in terms of, like you say that, she could be a spy from ISIS. I think that's what a lot of people kind of jumped on, you know, but then there was the conversation of she went out there at 15, was she groomed, etc, etc. There was that much stuff. I was just like, this is too complicated for me. Mm. This is why I'm an actor, not an MP.
Yeah.
And I genuinely think people...
I'm just going to share my happy dinosaur dancing along.
Exactly. I think that's what people need to go. People need to go, you know what? I'm a bricklayer. I'm not an MP. Right, I don't need to share that. I know, Tom, I share a lot of political stuff on Facebook.
Yes, you do, indeed. Yes. Mm. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I know I do. But that's because I have an interest in it and I would like to maybe one day. But, yeah, I think with things like that, if it's too complicated for you and you just... The only kind of fucking reaction you've got is instant fuck off.
Yeah.
Then maybe don't just sit back, look at it, do your research, have an informed opinion or not.
Someone's daughter still.
I mean it's a complicated thing. It's a complicated case. I wouldn't like to be the guy who's dealing with it.
Yeah.
On any level.
Yeah.
So I'm not.
We don't know what the case
what happened with her. We don't know whether she was forced over there, whether she was bribed over there, blackmailed her. Nobody knows what's gone on.
Mm. What's even more crazy is we even still believe what we've been told. We already know the press chat shit.
Yeah.
So that's even it. What we've been told could be bullshit.
Yeah, that's it. Like, it's, yeah.
And we're all arguing about this now, and it's like, we don't know half this shit.
Well, the internet's fucking mad. Yeah, that was one of the main things, because while
it... War of information, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, because while it was going on, it was all the proper Brexit negotiation things coming. And so people were saying, like, this is just to distract you from... Because it happened at the same time, it happened in... there was an American woman who'd been and joined ISIS and wanted to come back with a child, and a Canadian woman who'd been and joined ISIS and wanted to come back with a child. So it was a bit like all three of them, all at the same time.
Experiment.
Exactly, like which one elite it up the most, I guess. And whether it was, again, conspiracy theories, you could fucking sit online all day and look at them bastards, couldn't you? Like,
I love a good conspiracy theory. Though.
Yeah, they make good documentaries, don't they?
Yeah. But I think. That we speak about sort of the online world a lot and on the podcast, and some great things have come from it. Like you said, people, you know, going out earning a living. This podcast is all online. Like, do you know what I mean? Shit like you say, but yeah, it gets scary when, like you saying, when people use it as a tool in our line of work for the career, because you're too connected, I guess.
Yeah, like, I can't imagine myself selling like a protein, but yeah, I could sell a condom now, I suppose.
Yeah.
Maybe a new face of Jorex.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bringing it on.
Or like an antivirus blocker for people who are like on porn a lot.
Porn on pop-ups.
I think, we'll probably, we'll rein it in now, mate. But thanks so much for coming on and having a nice little honest little chat.
Yeah. It's nice to have that... that open chat without it getting too deep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I want.
And I think that's it. I think that's something that if you are listening to this and, you know, you feel like you do need to talk to your mates, it will be like this.
Literally.
You're not going to sit there and your mates are all of a sudden going to turn into fucking evil bastards and judge you. You're probably going to come away from it after having a little bit of a giggle with your mates going, oh, fucking hell, lads, I've got a bit of a trouble with this, or I've got a bit of trouble with that. You know, and you'll have a laugh and you'll realise why they're your mates, I guess.
Everyone's anxieties are different, aren't they? You know, we've sat and, not moaned, but talked as creatives and actors, spoke about what maybe triggers our anxieties and paranoias. You know, people who are working in any other line of work,
it might be
totally different. You just chat about how you feel, and somewhere along the line, the people who you're talking to will relate to that.
100%.
Do you know what I mean? We're all fucking humans at the end of the day. We all know how we all feel. So,
Is it the fact then that because we're so judged on social media that we think it's spilling into real life, but really it's not?
I think so. Yeah. I do think that everything's really open now, isn't it?
Mm.
So. Part of my thing last year was like, oh, what if I tell my mate, then what if they're speaking about it to them, and then everyone's going to think I'm a fucking loony because of this and that. But realistically, they're not. They're your mates for a reason. Like, you'll talk to your mate and then he'll help you or she'll help you. They're not going to go and spread it around everywhere, because that is a very social media thing, innit? Do you know what I mean? Someone falls over a fucking dog on Facebook and it's all over Facebook in 10 minutes, the fucking new video, innit? But
I think if you've got a bit of anxiety, or if you're suffering a bit, I think it can be a good thing as well. I think it just means you care a bit more, especially for us as well. I think it just means that we're more aware. It means that we don't want to be going out getting smashed, falling out of nightclubs and doing this. It just means that we want to make more of an impression of ourselves. I think,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's how I've felt. It made me, when I realised that I was suffering with anxiety, it made me want to go to the gym and lose a bit of weight. Yeah. I was training because it helped with my anxiety.
You care what other people think about
caring what other people think. Yeah. Like, instead of going
too much sometimes.
Yeah, instead of going out and smashing a glass on a bar because I'm pissed up and everyone will find it funny, now I might go, oh, actually, no, that's just stupid, that. I shouldn't really do that. Do you know what I mean? It just means you're more switched on to what's surrounding you and you care more. And, I think it can really help people, I think. I think it can really help you.
You can, as long as you care about things in a healthy way. Like you say, you know, you can overthink stuff.
Of course you can. You know what I mean? We all do it.
Everything, yeah. 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 I do that with my little girl now, like, because she's on this thing where she's like, we don't let her have fizzy drinks and that, so it's all fizzy drinks are bad for you. But then she'll ask about, so she'll go like, Daddy, is juice good for you? And I'm like, yeah, not too much though, because you know, Daddy, is milk good for you? And I'm like, yeah, milk's good for you, but not too much. Mm. And it is that, like, I think I said to you the other day, it was like, everything can be good for you if you don't overdo it. And it's important to learn that, I guess, at a young age. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, she's getting it now. And I think that's what, again, people need to do is kind of, we're quite lucky now that we do live in this sort of generation of, like, the woke generation where people are, like, you know, you would have had a very different response saying what you said if you were part of your dad's generation.
Yeah, fully. Like, they were the ones ringing me, but giving me a bollocking for talking about it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, again, like, that's something I'm quite happy about, that, like, you know, we're a part of that generation, and then we can pass that on, and hopefully that'll carry on in the next generation. That, do you know what I mean? Because, like you say, like, it is ridiculous nowadays in the amount of people that sort of take their own lives, you know, like death through suicide and stuff. Like, that's it's crazy, the amount of numbers. Mm. And it's still, you know, it's still because it's stigmatized. Like, I didn't realize as well, I've obviously listened to another podcast I was telling you about earlier on, and I've spoke about it a bit, but Buy and Boy podcast. Even the phrase committing suicide it's biblical. It's like to commit suicide is like a sin. Mm. You're committing a sin. So even like that's stigmatizing that's so much.
Used to be a crime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it'd be like death by suicide would be the kind of the right way to sort of say it, or taking your own life. You know, like to say commit suicide is quite
it's defamation to the person who's done it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you don't know why. I mean, I remember being a kid and hearing about things like that. I live near like a motorway crossing, and every now and again, some poor bugger would jump off. And I remember being a kid and like sort of some of the adults' responses around me at the time. I remember being fucking selfish bastards jumping on the motorway. Selfish. What about all? What if they? What about this? And I'm like, obviously, as I've grown older, I go, well, whoa, like.
Someone's
what's wrong with that? Someone's been in that bad of a state and felt like they've not had anyone at all to the fact where they've not just stood on top of a bridge and threatened to do it, they've fucking jumped off.
Mm.
You've got to look at that before you go selfish. You know, doing that and jumping on, you could hurt someone else and you could danger someone else. And that isn't.
But when you're at that point, I think that's probably the last thing on your mind, isn't it? When you're at that point where you think there's no other way, it's like just the thought of that alone for me is like when you think in your life that you've got nothing else other than that.
There's a certain level of loneliness. Fuck,
man. I mean, not to go in too deep, but a friend of mine took his own life, and he had two kids, one who was 9, one who was 8, and he fucking adored them kids more than anything else in the world. And, you know, he was the happiest guy in the world. He was a life and soul. Then he took his own life, and then he's just like, where was he?
Yeah.
Where, because his kids, he fucking worships him, and then to think that was his only option, his only way out.
Yeah. And I think that's important then as well, I guess, like, with Sean's subject of, you know, not talking's overrated. I guess, you know, if you've got someone who you know who's been a bit quiet lately or whatever, you give them a ring maybe as well. Do you know what I mean? Because you never know, do you? Do you know what I mean? Like,
or even if they're not being quiet, like, this guy who I'm on about, he was
just checking everything.
He was just
the louder ones.
Louder one.
Well, yeah. I mean, look at like Robin Williams and things like that. Like, do you know what I mean?
And it's like, yeah. And for me as well, to think that he, and not only for me because I wasn't the closest person to him in his life, but to be able to think that he felt that he couldn't say, fucking hell, like, I'm in a really, really shitty place here.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I don't understand how he couldn't have felt that it's all right to say that.
Yeah.
That's
all it takes is, I'm not all right, mate. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, fully.
It's
that's what went, like say last year with me. That's what hurt my two mates, my best mates, the most. That I felt like I couldn't talk to him, and they were like, "Fuck!" They were offended at that, not in a bad way, but they were like, "Fucking hell!" Like what?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think that is the thing. I think that around that kind of chat, you know, that is the thing, is don't be afraid of talking to people. You know, you feel bad, but you know, they're your friends for a reason, or you know, if you don't have many friends, like there'll be someone there that you can talk to, I guess.
Yeah. I found a lot of solace in the people that do follow me. So it has been a little bit, yeah, because it's like, oh shit, I am actually not the only one. And weirdly, they kind of like, not to say they is like, but I do engage as much as I physically can with as many people as I can. I'll spend like Sunday night just going through all my comments and write back to everyone and all my DMs, and I'll try and at least. And that's helped a lot. Like, that's helped me a lot.
In what way? Just
like more so because I don't think my family have even kind of stepped up to the mark. So like, when I was eventually going right last year, I was struggling last year. I did think about taking my own life. You expect still a bit of a gear change in a few people around you.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't even come, and it still hasn't really for some people. That I kind of think if I'd have heard that about you, I'd have been at your door with.
Yeah.
And then, but you have to take yourself away from that and go, right, well, that's just what, I don't know, everyone's got their own shit, and then you kind of give people an excuse, and then.
But there's, you know, there's other things out there. Again, for, you know, I went and saw, like, a proper, like, you know, a psychiatrist a couple of times. Not, like, thingy, it was a point where I was like, right, I need to chat to someone unbiased.
100%.
Someone who does it. Because my mates were there for me, and I spoke to my mates, and that, but. You know, my mates were biased towards me.
Yeah.
Where as soon as I went and spoke to someone who was unbiased and said, look, this is where I'm at. I'm having a bit of problems, like, with me and my missus, and don't know if it's drink, don't know if it's this or whatever. He was completely unbiased. And then I remember the first time going home from it, not liking what he said. Not liking what he said one bit. But after a couple of days, I was like, nah, he's right. He's basically told me what I needed to hear, but my mates wouldn't tell me that. So sometimes that's, you know, a good thing to do as well, because, like you say, your mates will be like, they'll have your back.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes you need them to have your back, but you need them to go, actually, that's a bit of a cunty thing, that.
My mum was more like, well, you're 30 now. Deal with it.
Yeah.
And it was like,
but again, that's
right.
that old school
yeah, old school
generation
parent.
Above
yeah,
us,
yeah,
isn't
yeah, fully,
it?
Fully.
Do you know what I mean? Because again, like, I think something that we forget is when your mum was younger, when your mum was 30, because your mum's quite young,
yes,
mum, she's like my mum. So when your mum was 30, you were, yeah, yeah, exactly. So that generation, like when my mum was 30, I was in high school. So like that generation are so different. Like nowadays, you know, people are younger longer. I think like 40 now is the kind of age where a lot of people sit down and have kids.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Where when I, even as so soon ago as like when our mums were younger, it was like 18, 19 was kind of the norm. You left your mum and dad's house, you went and got a job. Nowadays, you know, people are extending that kind of adolescence, and that's just the way it is, because of again, I think because of the internet and stuff like that, because you can have so much more freedom in what you do and things like that. People want to travel, people want to do this and that, you know. It's a different the older generation sometimes can't understand that. It is that attitude. Were you 30? Saw it out, because at 30 I had you and I had your sister and I had da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, that's the key. That's what, like, my dad would often say, oh, by the time I was 25, when I was 15, I was on a paper round. And by the time I was 15, I used to bike 25 miles to mow lawn for £4. And I'm like, it's a bit different now.
Yeah, it's different nowadays.
Times
yeah.
have changed a lot.
Well, it's like that argument, isn't it? Like, oh, I had my own house at your age. Like, did you? Yeah, yeah. But you fucked up the economy for us, didn't you? So we can't buy, we can't buy houses because they're very expensive because of all your borrowing, making the banks crash.
That's a good thing to end it on.
Yeah.
Fuck you, RBS.
Yeah,
but if you want to sponsor the podcast, RBS, we'll be nah, nice one, Sean. Thank
yeah,
you
nice
much,
one, bro. Appreciate that.
Clear off. I need to get back on with my edit.
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
That one for me was, you know, I never really get, well, I you know, I've got deep in conversations, in interviews and things.
Chats?
No, because, oh, no.
Oh, right, okay,
in
sorry.
Interviews.
Fuck, I thought I had you there.
Yeah, you know, you're not getting me. I got quite deep on, again, the Two Shot podcast.
Yeah.
I've done some, you know, some various interviews over the years and got quite deep and never really liked doing it. But during this chat, well, it's certainly the first time that I've gone, you know, into my own personal experiences when I was talking about a friend of mine who took his own life. And it was, God, it's weird sitting in the overrated everything environment and going that deep, because we've not really done it before. But yeah, it also felt nice and it felt comfortable being with yourself and Sean.
That's it again. Yeah, I mean, that's what we, you know, we wanted to get from it. It was a nice, comfortable chat with friends, and that's something that, if you're listening to this podcast and you know you're overthinking things, or you are suffering with anxiety or anything, don't feel like you can't go and chat to your friends. And if you can't, if you genuinely can't, look out for places like Samaritans. I gave the number away just before the chat, charities like that, and find someone to chat to.
Yeah,
you know, whether they be unbiased, like I say in the interview, or not. Just talk, try it, because it's better than the other things.
Yeah,
I think just give that a try first before.
Yeah,
thinking.
And I think if you are struggling, you know, if you can, you know, it's not easy to do, but if you know, if you are struggling in terms of if you're drinking and it's making you feel depressed and stuff, if you can just have a weekend off,
see how you
and
feel.
Go for a run, go hiking, or, you know, that sort of thing, it's amazing what that can... It was literally like medicine for me. When I started exercising and stayed off the drink for a little bit,
yeah,
I was like a totally, totally different man.
Yeah, you can find that same buzz in other things.
I think
once you open your eyes again to how like nice the world actually is.
Yeah.
Because you do. The news, especially at the moment in time, the news, you know,
everything that's on Twitter and Facebook,
exactly,
and Instagram. There's never any good news, is there? Do
no.
you know what I mean?
And you look outside your window. I mean, I'm looking outside mine now, and it's a beautiful blue sky. And it's a nice day. Spring is in the air.
Yeah.
Summer soon. Like, you know, there's always something to be positive. And if it's getting dark and it's getting bleak, you know, winter's coming. But, you know, there's niceness in that.
Was that
well.
A Game of Thrones
there's...
thing there? Were you dropping the Game of Thrones?
Hire me. but yeah, so yeah, again, a lovely chat there.
Yeah, it was really nice. And again, thank you to all the Patreons.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Kindly donating every month.
You're our friendship group and we love you. And on that Patreon, there is things there where you can obviously chat to us and stuff and whatnot. So let's try and make that a little community for us for the podcast. And
yeah,
you know, we do release podcasts early on there.
You've got a window cleaner, dude.
I've got a window cleaner.
Your window cleaner's
window
here.
Window cleaner's here. He's looking at us thinking, what are these guys doing?
And you've got dogs barking. We've got it all going on.
But yeah, so get onto the Patreon. Holler, be quiet. Get onto
he
the
said
Patreon.
That a lot nicer than he normally does.
Shut up. Yeah, so get onto Patreon. Also, guys, reviews as well. If you...
Yeah, reviews.
Holly!
Right. Is that one Holly or Rudy, that
That's
one?
Holly, that I can tell about. yeah, reviews. If you get onto Apple Podcasts, you can leave reviews on there. You can leave reviews on the Patreon.
On iTunes.
Twitter. Yeah,
just on anything, can't you, really?
Go on, Tom, I'll read us some.
So, we got a review from Yo Lee, Yo Break It Down.
Yo Lee, Yo Break It Down.
Yo Lee, Yo Break It Down.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. He said, it's proper brilliant. It made me literally laugh out loud whilst driving with the missus. Love the Reverend, i.e. John McClaw.
That
Reverend
was a good episode.
Which was a brilliant episode.
It was.
It was very similar to Dave Allen. He's got no filter.
Yes, there was a lot of editing, I remember.
Yeah. And also, we've got another a five-star. We've got another five-star from Big Geo.
Oh, okay.
67.
Nice.
They said, Andy and Thomas have came up with a great podcast idea. Not been a bad one yet. Best one was Stephen Graham.
It was a good one.
It was a very good one. Some brilliant stories. Passes a long time driving, no time.
Nice.
Looking forward to what they have to come.
Wicked. Well, this is what we've got to come.
Yeah.
We've got plenty more to come, though. We've got a brilliant episode next week that's already in the can. Other than that, we've, as of recording this, not got any of them recording yet.
No, but we our next one, she texted me back actually and said
nice
that we can go over to where she lives. I won't say where.
Yeah.
But which is a massive episode. I think you lot are going to love it.
You guys are going to absolutely love that one, especially if you enjoyed the Stephen Graham one. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, hints.
Yeah.
Oh, spoiler alert. Yeah, all right. So... we'll leave it there because I've got to go and pay me window cleaner.
Yeah. And shut your dogs up.
And shut my dogs up. Thanks very much, guys. We'll see you next week.